This is tape number 5, recorded August 25th, 1979, in Walnut Manor, Anaheim.
Okay, as the owners of the Lyle Apartments, we went through quite some changes. During the war years, came first the restrictions by the government to go over from resort renting to regular renting of by the month and to people that worked in the shipyards and around Long Beach. In other words, they were busy with war efforts, and that seemed more important than people that came just for vacation. So we had to change our services, and also as the OPA came into effect, we had our rent stabilized to a certain amount by this law, by this OPA law, and the people living in the Lyle at that time were all in an uproar that they couldn't stay and they had to move out, and the contracts that we had with them, the rental contracts, were all no good. And on the other hand, the OPA would be calling me constantly about their complaints to them. According to OPA, they were to receive what they had before the law was in effect. But the government told us we could not go on renting to vacationers. They needed housing for the war effort. And so this is a terrible upheaval in a way. You didn't know what to do at first until this was all regulated. But as the weeks and months went on, our main renters were people stationed in Long Beach for one reason or another, and also vacationing renters that came from the war effort that had time off and had their wives living in the seaport of Long Beach where they could get to easy. Well, this went on during the war time, and Long Beach was busy like every other town winning the war and doing what we could in the war effort.
Yeah. What kind of jobs did the people have who lived there?
They either worked on the ships, got the ships ready, coming in and going out, and they day and night, the shipyards were building, and the people that had the know-how to do this came all into Long Beach, plus the soldiers that came back from the war effort. And we went on in that fashion until finally in 1946 the war ended, and then Long Beach was gradually going back to normal. Being a seaport, it was never quite normal because ships kept coming in and going out, and the war itself had made a change in the way people lived and thought. So we couldn't really go back to resort renting again as it had been before the war. We gradually changed over. Naturally, for a long time, we couldn't change our rents. Our rents were low, very low, and there was also talk that Long Beach would, when the war was over, build and needed to build a civic center. Their facilities were way too small as the city grew, and we knew that this, our location was selected, and that we probably would be in it. And around in a few years, 48, 49, 50, we had the city come and measure, and there was a lot of talk about this whole section of Long Beach would disappear. Already, apartment houses were tearing down, the real old ones, and also we had quite a few historical buildings along. Ocean Boulevard there, they gradually disappeared, and new buildings were going up. The earmark, which was the earmark of the coming Civic Center. And so we went through that. The apartments all were surrendered. In fact, after the war, they were very scarce. And people wanted to pay big bonuses to just get an apartment. That's why we needed the OPA to stay in effect, because some landlords would have just get the impossible out of rent. So we went on for years and years not knowing should we make the reparation on the building or shouldn't we. We told the people, well, this is how it is. The city is going to get it one day. If you want paintings done, you have to do it yourself. And we supply you the material, but we cannot go into big repairs and clean up shops when we can't raise these rents. You are paying so very little that we have to just go on like that. And our people were gradually steady renters. Some had been there already and stayed there. And we got along by not renting, raising the rent, and by not demanding anything. We kept that rent. Then as the years went by and the Civic Center came closer and closer, we were worried how long we could go on without making repairs. We had to do a certain amount of repairs, and with that small rent that we were getting, it was almost impossible. Well, the day came and OPN went off, and we were free again. But then the times had changed to a stable, more stable condition. And people were then looking to locate permanently. Like people that were from the Middle West were going back, and others were had gotten married, and all these things that enter into human living happened, and it happened very noticeably in the vending business. You feel it. Well, we had all these years to go through where the city said, oh, yes, we're going to buy this someday, and then yet they wouldn't come and buy it. And finally got to the 60s and 70s, and finally about 66, it was certain that our building was going to be torn down, and that we started to negotiations with the city about the price. In 1968, my husband passed away, so I had to face that by myself. And the city had gotten out an ordinance that buildings that were hurt in the earthquake could not get the new time prices for them. They had to be sold at the price that we paid. Well, that was a terrible situation for me, because it meant giving up a good solid income for just a few dollars. 32 apartments, the money the city offered me would have bought maybe 3 or 4 apartments. And actually I fought, and finally in 1969 we agreed on a price that I could accept. And so the lyre was lent in the hands of the city, and I was free of it. This was now 1970, when it was all cleared and the taxes were settled and everything. And I started looking for a place to live. And my manager, luckily, stayed with me to help me clear up the place and hold the services up for the people that were living there. Well, the city came and offered all our tenants a month's free rent if they got out in the month December of 70. And that was awful hard on those old people. On one hand, they wanted to stay, their money. On the other hand, they didn't know where to go. Apartments were so scarce. But city helped. If they absolutely didn't find anything, the city would get a place for them or give them enough money to rent a different place. Well, the building stood there for 2 more years, curtain shapes and everything on it, and wasn't touched. It was only torn down in 72 or 73, and the civic center began to take shape. It's still not finished.
How come it took so long?
Well, it's politics, you know. I went up there every Tuesday sitting in on what they were doing. They formed one plan, and another one was came and said that's not the way, and, you know, to make the money free for it and everything. That's a big thing. That's a big for a city.
Yeah, but from 1946 to 1970?
Well, it didn't start at 46. They only started, 46 when the war was over. Then they considered and felt and found out that they needed a new city hall and they needed facilities. They were renting then already buildings, private buildings, to do their business of government in. So everybody was agreed Long Beach needed a civic center, but until it was all straightened out and all the houses condemned, they needed to tear down and all that. That's turned on from year to year, and maybe the government employees changed hands or changed positions, and people came in with different ideas, and until it was all finished, it was 1970. And this was a long time for all the owners in downtown Los Angeles to keep going. So when it finally was all decided and all settled, I was more than glad, because our neighborhood had gotten, after the war and all, gotten pretty, what should I say, wild. There was all kinds of criminal things going, and I was along with the manager. We had lights all around the house to keep the people from sleeping on those parking lots, and drunken parties going on. We were surrounded by parking lots. There was Lyle, the old hotel facing Cedar Avenue. The Long Beach Hotel was torn down already. And it was not a nice time to live through, but it came to an end. And today, our city hall is on that very spot where our Lyle was, the new city hall in Long Beach.
I don't think you said on the tape before exactly where it was.
It was on, first, we were located on 46 Chestnut Avenue, and first, at the courthouse, and the police department was built up before the city civic center was started in itself. We had those new buildings and the parking lots and apartment houses that were opposite the Lyle were all gone already. Only this side hadn't been touched yet.
Okay, now talk about Pine Avenue.
The face of Long Beach changed with all this building and with all the civic center. Pine Avenue was one of the loveliest streets with nice old family stores like Walker's, Buffum's, and you just felt good in that city. Now, it's all like a city in the making. Half is torn down, the other is just, it's not a nice place to go to, and I don't know how the people hold out so many years until they finally have a city again. Long Beach was a lovely, sleepy, seaside resort that everybody loved. We had half of Iowa here in the winter, and now it's all like in an uproar, unsettled. And when you go down to Long Beach, the people on the street, what's ever going to happen to this town? The way it looks, of course, it's unavoidable to make a new city and not feel or see anything of it, that's for sure. But seems all so outdrawn and so long, and the nice old things disappear, and nothing is in its place. And Anyway, our modern living with all the big shopping centers and the compound business region, small stores and private businesses all seem to go down the drain. And so I don't know what will become of Long Beach as we knew it and as it was. I hope it will go the way of Phoenix. The city will come again. Now, stop it.
Okay, we'll stop for a minute.
No, what you mean.
Okay.
Well, thinking of the wartime and OPA time, I think America's just the greatest country because no matter what comes along, they roll up their sleeves, go to work, and get it over with and help the other countries win it wherever they think who's right, they help. Well, with the OPA, when it came into existence, almost every owner of property, every landlord, as they call them, felt, what are they doing? They're freezing us at depression time then. And then at the same time, they go up with the taxes because they needed it for the war effort. And so it looked just not right for most people. But they won the war, and we got through that period, even through the crazy Hitler war that looked crazier than ever. And now, whatever it takes now to do it seems so much harder. Now, with our inflation, with the inflation, and it's worldwide, it takes, again, the American people to get behind it. No one man is going to be able to do it unless the American people see it and help it, then it would be nothing. They were united behind it. We got out of the OPA law, and some crazy things really happened during the time. You just thought, well, that's sure not going to work, but it did work. It did work. And then if people saw the necessity of it, and we thought, the landlords thought, my goodness, they run down to the OPA, and the OPA tells us what to do. Why don't they tell them not to use our facilities any way they wanted? Tell their children to wipe their dirty hands on our furniture and have the lights burning all night long, and because we had to pay it. My husband had those 10 houses, all new houses, rented to Oakies. Bathroom, brand new, and built on garages at $35 a month. He was frozen, and then they promised if he would let the $5 go, they would take care of the property. And just before the OPA went into effect, he gave him $5 off, thinking they're going to model on and do all this to their own plumbing. Well, they were frozen that low, and they didn't do a darn thing. He had to go and take care of their kids, because stuff starts in the bathroom every day. You had to go somewhere to fix something. And one lady had a great big house near the temple of Amy McPherson. He had a property up there. And she just thought she had a good not. She's going to get even with the landlord. So she demanded a paint job, and we had to do it, and she demanded all kinds of things, and her boys were going to mow the lawn, but they never did. So when I became half bought of the property, I said to my husband, in the front house was a teacher and her father, and they were nice people. And he sold that piece of property here for $5,600, two houses on it, one a new one. But the new owner, the lady, wouldn't let him in the back. Sure, she didn't have to. So the man in town, and he said, I buy it. I don't want to look at it. I can see from outside what I... And I said, please do us a favor and ask for the rear house. You'd be better off if you do it. So that's how she had a newsstand. That's what the things you had to do. You couldn't tell her to move out.
Any simple mistake, the temple wasn't in Englewood, was it?
No, this was property in Los Angeles, up in the west section called
Echo Park.
Echo Park, that's where the houses were, in that location. He didn't build all in. These he bought. These were not in Englewood. But that's the kind of things you had to deal with, and you didn't have no right. It was part of the prior war effort, and we just had to comply with it. But the wars always come to an end, no matter how long they go on, and things change. And so it was with Long Beach. The things we had to go through, and when the time came where the 32 tenants had to be paid back a certain amount of money. It was raised, and it wasn't even arguing. We bought it, but the former owner, the insurance company, had raised, and now it was up to us, not out of our pocket, of course. We got that refunded from the insurance company because they took it in. But it was up to us to see that they got their checks, and the checks didn't come. Just at the day, then they ran down to the old PA, complained they didn't get their refund. Finally, the company sent them all at once, and there was a heck of a party on a Saturday night when they had those checks. But things like that, and no matter how loud I proclaimed it, we didn't get the money. Well, you're responsible. You're the owner. You got to see that they get their checks. You know, things like that. And human nature can be funny when their own interests are involved. You find that out all the time. And the OPA only allowed me to claim that I didn't have enough linen anymore. See, when they first moved in there, it was signed down with linen from the other kind of ending yet, and I was every week we had to give out linen and had wash, and that took extra help and extra money and all. Finally, I thought that through, that I didn't have to give them linen anymore. Oh, well, they never had to go out and buy some towels. Well, that's some of the experience with the Lyle. But Long Beach has changed, so I guess every other city did too, but oh, it changed. It was such a lovely, quiet town when we first went down there. And now, with all the ships coming in and with all the shipyards open at night, oh, then came the time when we couldn't show no light.
Yeah, did you say you used to go swimming in the ocean?
Yes, for a while, right down the steps there by that hotel, still in existence, on the end of Ocean Boulevard and Foot of Chestnut. And the steps still going down there, and that's where we went every day swimming for a whole year, miles from the night. That was the Green Beach.
Blackstone?
Next to the Blackstone, the Sovereign.
Sovereign.
The Sovereign. And now you wouldn't go near it. You know, it's got oil in it, got dirty, and it's all kinds of cheap rentals down there. The nice places were torn out down around the ocean front. That changed altogether, too, that whole section. And so did everything else. Well, people at the slip kitchen.
What nice places were down there? What was it like?
Well, there was this big place over there with all those little cheap bungalows for people that didn't have the big money to come down to the seashore. I forget the name of that big hotel. There's a swimming pool there, and you could go there to eat, and he owned all those bungalows. That's now all put into city property, connected with the port, and a park is down there, and also you can go down and watch the boats. It's nice now, it's fixed up.
Do you mean Venetian Square?
Venetian Square used to be called, I don't know if they still call it that, Venetian Square. There was known all over the United States for people to come and spend a week or 2 weeks. And the man that owned it, I used to know him. He belonged to the Apartment House Association, too. He he built that all up, and it was just going to business. And other hotels were down there that were run privately in the night, but in the wartime it deteriorated.
Well, that, well, all the people who couldn't afford good lodging were down there. It became like the Bowery in New York.
How come they weren't there?
Because it was cheap. You see, it was dilapidated now and old, and you could get cheap rentals there. And St. Element hung out down there, too. You remember the time when they had to spit an art piece up and on the beach down there? Yeah, I think it's still up to go there. They could say anything. Communists could talk, socialists could talk. Anybody could say anything, and then they either booed them off the place or they liked what they said. You know, it was a great place, Long Beach. Lots of awful things happened to say afterwards.
Yeah, I'm still not sure exactly why Venetian Square and that area around there in particular, why it deteriorated. Why wasn't it kept up?
That I can't tell you, but at the time, you know, a high-class element didn't go. When they came, they were in oceanfront in expensive hotels. So it was the middle class or lower class resort portion anyway. And so when the war came and all these elements came and all these sailors off, then that's where they got cheap rent, and it gradually went down. Well, the houses and the facilities got old, too. And newer things, better things, down on shore, and those places went up.
Were some of those places subdivided so more people could sit in, you know?
Well, the bungalows were small enough, one-room bungalows and just a bathroom. And then the ones that want better facilities rented in the hotel. We had that hotel with it. And, but it was so old and it was so long in existence, and he advertised in all the papers all over the place, and people came year after year. It was always a good going business, but in the wartime it just went down and down because those people had to have a place. They too, I mean, that class of people. Up in Carlisle, before the war, when it was built, it was a high class place. It had an awning out front, you know, and it was expensive. The man that built it, you know, he committed suicide later on. Because
why?
Well, the earthquake and the depression, and he had all, and he paid. I think I heard he paid $1,000 a foot frontage, and there was no way before the war started to make that. He just went under through it. And when we bought it, it was still considered one of the nice hotels. There was the Blackstone and the Sovereign and all these good hotels around our neighborhood, so it was known for a resort kind of a part of the city where people went. And
was his name Mr. Wilde?
No, his first name. No, you know how I found out all this history? His son was at that jewelry place in Long Beach, and I just happened to go in there with some repair work. He asked me my address, and he says, "Oh my goodness, my name is Lyle. My father built that and named it Lyle after me." And then he told me the story now. What happened to his father, and he never could retain it or could own it again. Just take the people and everything to what we call progress.
What was his name?
Turn it over a minute so I can think.
Okay.
The man that built the Lyle, he had a big dream, and it was an outstanding building at the time when it was built in 1980. And had rendered then good and had good possibilities. But along came the depression from 29 to 34, 5 about. And that's when he couldn't rent those expensive apartments. And in 33, on top of all that, came the earthquake and damaged the place badly. I still have pictures where the tenants slept in tents over at Lincoln Park.
Oh, really?
Yes. They had all get out. Of course, we didn't own it then. And the man lost everything he had in the insurance company, Lawrence Insurance Company. No, in Lawrence, Wisconsin. I don't know the company. They took it back. He got poor and finally. And then it went, the insurance company then sold it, I think, to two more owners who couldn't make it. It was called Lyle Apartments and Hotel. It was run mostly like a hotel, rented by the week, and you supplied the linens and everything. And the Times were then, after the Depression, after the stock market crash, the Times were so bad that people just didn't have the money to live for or take vacations. So finally, when 41 came, you see, any time a war is in sight or a nation gets ready for it, the jobs become more plentiful and people can do things. Well, along came 49 and I got married and we first bought that place up in Highland Park, 18 units. And then my husband thought, well, the thing of making money is better than having all these houses that she was worried day and night. So we looked for a place in Long Beach because we had friends there that had apartment houses and hotels. And they heard of the Lyle. So we looked at it. And naturally, I was afraid I had never run such a big establishment. But our friend said, we'll teach you, we'll take it over until you know how, and so on. So we did it, and my husband, like always, he wasn't going to have no mortgage and pay, it was funny, and pay interest on it. He would sell his houses in Inglewood and pay it cash, and we did. We had both places paid cash, but we sold those houses on the average $4,000 or $5,000. One up in the Windsor Hills that had rooms for maids even, a high class house, he got $8,000. And I kept saying, don't do it, pay me that even. He says, I don't want to live with debt in my mind. I have the money and I have to pay it off and I couldn't do nothing. He just paid it off. And you know, we could have had three, four Lyles, because a house like that, if you have, once they're down, it pays itself out. Well, he said, what do you want? You have enough to eat, you have a nice home, you have all the clothes you want. What do you want that money for? And I would say, I have lots of places for it if we would have it. You know, there is so much want in the world, and no, you couldn't move him that way. I wasn't allowed to have a charge account in Bubbins, and when the time came when nobody had stockings, only the charge account people got some stockings from Bubbins, and I didn't have any. Man, oh, you didn't let me have an account. I don't count with Bubbins. They say the few stockings that there were for the public, their charge account people came first, and every store was like it. Well, they were so scared. Everything went into the wall effort by then. And I wanted to have a charge account too. All my friends said, you wouldn't allow me to. You've got the money to go. Then pay more for the stockings. You couldn't even buy them for $5. And they were so scared. The stockings and all the things. Because whatever they was done first for the war effort. They needed all that lilac for parachutes and for... It didn't matter whether women had run since the start. Well, that's the way he was. He wanted no debt whatsoever. And if he hadn't been that way, then I wouldn't have had so much money to spend. I had an awful lot of money to spend when times became better. And that's why I think to this day that the government did a good thing in bringing in the OPA. That's the only way they could stop it. It's like Carter Maury should do something about the exploitation of poor people and old people. If it didn't cost them votes, he might do it. Well, it's all times change, and everything changes. But only now, the whole world is in a kind of a bankruptcy. This isn't national what's going on now. It's in every country. And some of their differences, like in the Holy Land and over there, go deeper and are worse than what we have here.
Well, did you know in Long Beach that suggested that you come?
Yeah. My daughter-in-law's grandmother was my friend from New York, Mrs. Senior, and they were established in Long Beach. They had come out here and had bought leases up after this. He had a good nose for that. The leases were very cheap in Long Beach. And he came from New York with a friend of mine. They weren't married, then they married here. And they were going into that in a big way. They had about 6, 8, 10 leases where they paid maybe their owner $200 a month and maybe they took in $1,000 on it, you see.
And what kind of business?
Renting business, hotels and apartment houses. They weren't wealthy enough to buy the places, but the owners, there were always so many landlords that didn't run their place. They had their money just invested in it and then hired a percentage wise or someone to release them. And that's what they did, and I thought, my goodness, that must be a business that really pays. And you see, I'm talking now after the war had started, renting became good. Apartment became very scarce. I had a manager for 10 years that got rich by running the Lyle, and it only taught the end. I found out what he did. He had every tenant that moved in our building pay him under the table $100. I got at that time 32 for the apartment a month. And I didn't dare to be there with my business. But finally, when I had a friend come from New York who needed a little apartment, and I wanted to give her one in the lab. We weren't living in the lab back then anymore. We had our own home. And he was so angry. He was the boss. He said, if you want to rent the place. And then I give up and things like that because I wanted to give her an apartment. And I had to go to on Broadway with the lady, a real estate woman, just rented also. I went to her to ask her for an apartment for this friend, and that's how I found out what he was doing. She said, oh, the Lyle, that's one of my houses where I do all the renting. I said, the man is dead now, so she mentioned the name of my manager. Like the Lyle belonged to him. He told everybody that was his building. We weren't living there. So I said, you do the renting. How come? Well, you see, the OPA wouldn't allow anybody to pay percentages. Like you have to pay now, if I give you that apartment, you have to pay him a percentage, certain amount, and half of that the management gets. See, that's how they covered up. So I went down to the OPA and asked him, if I have a crooked manager that makes money on the side out of my apartment, and I don't know who's responsible. You are, they said. He's just working for you. It's your business to know that. And he was still clear on, and I didn't know how to throw him out because he had turned our small apartments while we were in Palm Springs into weekly rentals, which we weren't allowed. And he said to me afterwards, son, oh, Mrs. Whether you mixed up with the amount on those little apartments. I rent them like this now. And I should have said then, no, I don't take it. But I let it hang. We were up in Thompson. I came down once or twice a month. So that's how he bought me. So I couldn't open my mouth. The whole thing would have, what he had done, would have come out. And I was hoping and praying the old period would come to an end. And the day of this, I went down and you got out tomorrow. And he said, you wouldn't have said that to me last week. I said, no, I wouldn't. And you know why. And so he was going to make a big change. And I said, well, Okay. I found out that you're taking a pension from the government. You are out of work. Your wife has just this job. You're collecting from the government. Don't think I won't tell them that, too. Well, I'm going to squash that. And then he was out. My husband happened to be used to go to Phoenix and through the desert for his arthritis. Because sometimes he couldn't even walk. He was so much in pain. And when my husband came back, he said, Where's the manager? I said, I threw him out. The old PA saw him. I couldn't tell my husband what he was doing. He would have gone down and caught him and probably would have gotten into terrible trouble. He wouldn't have looked for him. So that's one of the side effects of loss. And I honestly didn't know that. If I hadn't gone looking for that apartment for this friend of mine, I would have never found out. So then they were gone, and he came around with his new card and listed some of the tenants just to show me that what he got out of it. But he died 3 or 4 years later. But he could do not much. Only money. And so things like that you had to put up with in business. Oh, I'm old. It's okay. Well, I was glad when finally the Lyle, the took the Lyle. Really.
You hear the manager after that one?
Well, yes. Then when I threw him out, I had about 3. Usually you had to have changes till you found the right man. The first I had was an Irishman. It took about a week, so I knew he was an alcoholic, so I had to let him go. The next one was a real estate man, an age change. It didn't do much in real estate. And his wife had to work, so they managed alongside of that. Well, that poor woman was too good to keep. The tenants run her racket. One needed a lemon, the other an iron, the third a towel. And I said, oh, Mrs., you can't do that. Say no, you haven't got it. You have to say no. That poor woman, she could not sleep after a couple of weeks. You know, you cannot be too nice to tenants. You have to give them what belongs to them. But they run you, they kill you if you let them what they all want. Oh, do me this and do me that and bring me this. Well, so then the third one was Mr. and Mrs. Moen, and they're still my friends. They stuck by me till it was gone. And they didn't want to. Shortly before the Lyle was taken over, a man got killed right by our back door, shot by a mailman. And it frightened everybody in the neighborhood, although that rundown hotel that faced Cedar Avenue, I think it was called Long Beach Hotel or Cedar Avenue Hotel. It was right next to the clubhouse of the Elks, yes. And that was very dilapidated. And we got lots of bumps through that in the neighborhood, but that was torn down then. That was gone already. Then when Mr. Moen came, the whole atmosphere changed. This other one was the bully. He was a liar and a cheat and a thief and a bully. It was 6-foot-something, and he would hit him like, didn't take him long. Well, anyway, I was so glad I had those people, but they were going to go when they were there about 3.5 years. It was too much for them, and it was, they didn't need it that bad, and it was just too much, and I talked to them, anyway. They rent, and I said, if you stay, then it was already pretty certain that the city would take the place. If you stay to the end, I'm going to give you a nice bonus. And so they stayed until it was all over with, which was a great help to me. Also, the quiet, the tenants found, if they knew right away what was going on, they would have moved out a year before, and I would have had the building empty. So it was important that I had somebody that stuck by me and not let that happen. So when it was all done, we could say goodbye, I bought him a car. And it's still running, and that's why they come out here often and pick me here or there. I shouldn't have put this on tape, but they're another
years. What kind of people lived in the Lyle after the war?
After the war, well, you know, when it was like a resort, we had from Iowa and from all the states. They would from Canada in the winter and from the Middle West in the summer. And after that, then it was from the war. We had people working in